Dropout Podcasts.
Greetings, travelers, and welcome to Tales from the Closet, the only podcast / vodcast with me on it. Welcome, everybody. If you're watching this on CH2 online or you're listening to it as a podcast, just know that there's also a video component where you could see our gorgeous faces. I have three lovely guests today.
I hate those candles.
Excuse me. I'm going to add one candle per episode. Get ready for this season, honey. Great. Let's hop right into it. Let's meet our contestants.
We're competing.
It's a blood sport.
Good.
Let's start with you, Jordan. I'm so happy that you're here.
I'm happy to be here, Allie. Are you gay?
I am gay.
Cool.
I am.
Too. Everyone here?
I am. Yeah, let's do that. I'm non-binary. I go by they, them.
Oh.
I'm into women. At this point, I don't know.
Yeah.
But if I put on a nice enough sweater, I can be bi. Never mind. That joke got away from me, but I will double
down. No, bi people famously wear sweaters.
Wear only sweaters. Yeah. They're like, excuse me, I am bi, and my car's here. I have to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a big hurry. Bi people
Uber,
are always doing something great.
Well, they're very busy. They have to fuck both men and women.
It's true. It takes a lot
of time. That's like double the time.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. So how do you identify, Jordan?
I identify as an artist first.
Great. Artist first.
No, I'm a he.
Great.
Traditional white gay. Yeah.
There it is.
You're the problem.
I am the problem, and I will continue to be the problem. I fucking love being the problem. No, I'm very cis. I like guys. Yeah.
There it is.
Say more about that.
Yeah.
What's it like to be cis?
It's honestly exhilarating. Every day I wake up and I'm like, I'm going to walk in the world and people are going to know exactly who I am.
No questions.
They're going to be like, that's a guy.
Yeah.
And kids
are going to say, what are you, loudly in the grocery store?
Kids just welcome me into their arms.
Great.
they say, I understand you. You make sense to me. I accept you.
And then you can recruit them. So
yeah,
it's fantastic.
I'm living with about 60 children right now who are all so, so sweet. You should guys come by anytime.
I don't want to come by.
No,
you have to.
We have a good time over there.
Great. And what do you do for work? What do you guys...
I am a filmmaker and writer and sometimes actor.
Ooh.
But yeah, I'm very just successful and rich.
Great.
What's that like?
Honestly, that has been a struggle.
I would imagine.
A lot of people don't understand me when they see my bank account. And they're just like, I could never relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, you shouldn't have to.
Yeah.
And you never will.
And you never will.
And I'm looking at
and
you.
And you're
right?
only
I'm
looking at me, and I do understand.
Right now.
I did pay for a bell pepper and dimes once.
I love
did.
That.
And it was a great lunch. Yeah. Moving on, Kimmy.
You ate just a bell pepper?
I bit it into it like an apple in my car listening to David Sedaris. That's how you get through things like that. Right? You listen to David Sedaris while at a personal low.
Did you guys used to cut off the tops and fill it with water and use it as a cup?
No.
That was my family was obsessed with that.
No. Yeah. A pepper cup?
Oh, we would do that and just laugh and laugh and laugh.
I would put like a great cocktail in that. That sounds like a really
like a Bloody Mary or something.
Something spicy.
Yeah, Bloody Mary served out of a bell pepper.
Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. Savory cocktails for me is a no, but I could do Bloody Mary.
Like a martini or like a no that
I don't
tastes
like
a sandwich?
I don't like a dry martini. Anyway.
Anyway, it's me. Hey there. Anyway, hi, I'm Kimia. I guess this is all going to be less interesting than Jordan, but I am. I don't know. He just went so
Nothing's
big.
Nothing's more interesting than a white guy.
I really don't know what to do. Well, I guess if we're
We
there,
go big or go home.
I guess so. I'm a girl, she, and I guess I've been using the word queer because honestly, I've only ever dated one woman and ever for a long time. It's my best friend, and it was we were best friends, and it got weird. So it's just like, I think think this is just where I'll be forever. So yes. As far as I know, I like this one person.
Wait, you're still dating her?
Yes.
Oh my God, I love
that's
that.
That's great. I love that.
Best friend?
So
no, not childhood. Well, I guess is high school childhood.
Yeah.
We weren't dating in high school, but I have known her since.
Wow.
Then.
Mm-hmm. So your sexual orientation is her.
I guess so.
I love that.
Oh gosh,
I'm going
stop
to melt.
Eyeing it.
Yeah.
You guys,
I guess starts crying.
All right.
What if I do? Oh God.
I've worked with Grant enough to know that it's not impossible for him to start crying at any point.
Well, we'll get him today then, I guess. Yeah.
What's it like to not be alone?
Oh, you know what? I don't, well, I guess I spend most of my days alone, so I still know what it's like to be alone. I guess there's always somebody that I can talk to.
Oh!
Brag.
Yeah,
it's
couldn't
nice.
Imagine what it's like for you.
It's really hard. The nights are terrible.
Do they feel super long?
And it's so cold in my apartment when I wake up and I have nothing to hold to warm myself up.
Can I tell a quick little anecdote?
Please. This is the podcast for that.
I woke up the other night to my boyfriend literally going like that, stroking my face like that, and then like I nudged and I woke him up. So he was doing that in his sleep.
What?
And then he was like, "What? What's going on?" And I was like, "You're stroking my face." And he's like, "Oh, I thought I didn't know. Sorry."
I woke up
like to be in a relationship.
My body pillow wasn't where I thought it would be, and it broke my heart.
Oh,
because I'm so fragile.
It's not actually that great to share a bed with someone every night for the rest of your life.
To be touched. To be touched.
I legit love being single. So, everything I was just saying was an act. I can't get enough being single.
I like to be in a relationship, but I do like to have nights where I am sleeping like a full starfish in the bed.
Yes.
And that's just like, I should be able to do that multiple times a week.
When you're in a relationship and you don't want to be touched and your lover touches you have to pretend like that's
nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, then it turns into a problem.
Don't.
Like, no, you don't. Just say not right now. Thank
in
you.
Mine,
I'm okay.
If I'm like, I just don't want you to touch me right now. That's like
we're
going to
fight.
We're going to fight.
I guess I've been there too, where it's like, is it something I said? And you're like, no, I truly just want to like watch Netflix.
Yeah.
Untouched,
yeah.
But naked. So figure that out.
Yeah. I'm gonna. No, you know what? It'll get to the sex stuff here in a little bit.
Yeah, it always does. This is And anyway, who are you? I'm sorry. Did you need parking or?
I would actually love it if you could validate. Yeah. That would really help me out a little bit.
Ma'am, there's an ambulance waiting downstairs. Here, actually, right now.
I have to go. I need it. I'm Grant O'Brien still. I identify as bi. I identify as he, him. This is the same old song and dance, isn't it?
Yeah.
We have been through this.
Yeah.
I am gonna run out
something
of things to
new.
Say on this podcast.
Just switch it up.
So what's
I mean, don't lie, but just tell us a new thing about yourself. What did you listen to in your car on your way here?
Oh,
today?
Yeah.
I'm gonna
that's
show you.
Really?
I'm gonna show you because it really is. I think important for this podcast that everyone knows that I was listening to the original recording of the musical Chicago, not the.
So Cheetah.
Cheetah Rivera, Jerry Orbach, Gwen Verdun. Because I'm very excited. There's a show about Bob Fosse and Gwen
Verdun.
Are you going to have a problem?
I wanted to use this platform to talk about gay male competition.
It is strong.
Yeah.
No, I was singing Chicago in my car all the way in.
That's nice. Very cute. And I do
I'm
love
on the
that.
Right podcast.
You are, truly. Mm-hmm. And you're welcome here.
Will you give us a little taste?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no. No, I can't. We cannot get the rights to that.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just sing it with different lyrics.
Yeah. Change the notes
and
lyrics.
I'm going to improvise a Chicago parody right now. Fair use.
Okay, great. We are going to move into our very first segment of the show, which is its namesake, Tales from the Closet. I love it. Thank you all again for joining us here in this empty party city. I really did want to have this show take place in the back of a Halloween superstore, but we weren't able to do that. So instead, our beautiful art director, Rick, made this, and I'm very happy with it.
Rick is very handsome.
Rick is gorgeous.
No. Is he in the room?
No.
Okay. Why? Okay. Who did you think he was with that description?
I don't know.
Who do you think is hot?
Just a minute.
All right.
Just a minute.
We are.
I'm gonna lampshade it because there's no way to get away with it because I'm still on camera. I'm a sweaty hog.
Little sweaty hog.
What were you saying?
All right, yeah, let's go around. This podcast is. I'm essentially just wanting to make the thing I wish I had when I was deep in the closet, watching The OC and being like, I'm not anywhere on there. although they did have a bi storyline. Do you guys remember that?
Oh, Marissa.
Yeah, Marissa had like a girlfriend for like
a
second.
13 from House. And her name is Olivia Wilde.
Olivia Wilde.
Wow, you're right.
Yeah. I've just been watching The OC, so that's why I know.
Yes.
It.
And I remember when that happened, and I was like, that is supposed to be including me, but I don't feel included.
No.
It was just like two hot Maxim models were like starting to hook up, and I was like, still
that's
not.
That's how
they
all
lived
women
together.
Should be, though.
Yeah.
They lived together.
Big skew. Oh,
that boy. Is how women should
that's
look.
That's how women should look
yes.
and act.
And act. All of them. Demure.
Demure.
That's how I describe everyone on the OC. Very demure.
Like, so obvious.
Tanned. Great. Okay. Yeah. So, any story from being in the closet? Maybe that moment when you were like, "Wow, I might be gay," or maybe it was like, "Uh-oh, I might be gay," or maybe it was like, "Yay, cool, I am gay."
I don't know, but I have been re-examining. Like, I just was remembering. I went to a wedding of one of my family friends, and I saw one of my cousin's friends that I hadn't seen in a while, and I was like, oh my goodness, I think when I was like 7, I had a crush on this woman, like my cousin's friend.
Oh.
I was like digging down deep because I was like, why would I always come into my cousin's house and be like, hey, is your friend blah blah here? And then she'd be like, no, she's only here like that one time. And I'm like, oh, okay, whatever.
Was she cute like now in real life?
It was Ellen DeGeneres.
I don't even know because it's weird because she wasn't even she's just like very much very older than me and just was like nice to me and unlike my cousin and I was like I don't know why I cared but I've just been re-examining people from when I was little that I was and I had
yeah
and that's a fun thing to know because you don't I didn't know I was into women so I just was like confused
totally
why I liked some people more than other people.
I was very vocal about crushes I had on guys but they were all boiled down to like I want to be friends with them but I was just like oh this is what we all talk about so I was like yeah I definitely have a crush on Paul and
yes
be like, no
I was trying to find like because everyone's like oh my type is blank blank and I was like oh my type is boys with mushroom haircuts and I was like that's not a type. That's like a haircut.
You're like, that's
that was
a
that
lesson.
Was my,
not a
that
cool haircut.
My type, though.
Okay.
Oh man, like
also
boys.
Mushroom?
Yeah, no.
The bowl
mushroom?
Cut.
Yes.
Yeah. Like so. Oh god, like oh, I love that.
Really?
Love that.
Really?
Okay.
Love
well, I
that.
Guess it like, counts as a type.
Like I, honestly, like it's all three of the guys on Full House. No,
oh,
not Full House.
Yeah.
Home Improvement.
Yeah,
yeah, all like they all had that like maybe they didn't have the mushroom haircut, but they were the kind of guy who might.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
That
yeah.
was my type. The guy who might have a mushroom haircut.
I was never into the all-American look.
Really?
Yeah. My first do you remember I forget what season of Real World, but there was a guy named Willie. Who is like one of the first gay guys on it.
I don't remember.
And he was just like now looking back, he was just like a full just like Latin twink. Like just like nothing descriptive about him, just like Latin twink. You could go to WeHo and see like 400 of him.
Yeah. Oh my god.
But for and there was a scene where he was like making out with this guy in the shower and I was like, that is it. Like that's all I want. I want and like the guy was washing his hair. And so like for years I had like a washing a hair in the shower.
Oh my god. Did you carry that with you into adulthood?
I remember like yeah, like in my early 20s when I was like slutting it up, like every like sexual like thing that I wanted in my childhood, like I did then.
Yes.
And then I was like, okay, it's like not that sexy to like shower.
Full, like,
sometimes it is, but mostly not.
Mostly showering with someone sucks.
Yeah. Who has like, a big enough shower to actually do that?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
You do. I
guys.
See.
You guys got to come over. Well,
I'll
I have to fit 60 children in it.
I'll
sure.
Kill
that's difficult. That's difficult.
Yeah. I feel like I heard something like early on. And you know, like there's just those like twisted. Like women's magazines that are like 10 tips to like use his tie to choke him or like
oh,
you know
like
and you're
like, ones,
yeah,
like
yeah yeah they're like
50
so
tongue tricks to make him go wild.
There's always like some extra element, like prop, like a full prop case.
Yeah.
And I was just, there was one with essential oils that was like, use essential oils on his ear. And, but, oh, oh my God. Okay, no, no, sorry. It wasn't a women's magazine. It was fucking Men's Health magazine. Uh-huh. I would take my dad's Men's Health. So it was like, put essential oils on her ear. And I, like, nothing short of cutting that article out. I was like, I'm going to do this one
And
day.
Do you do that to your
this
lover every
move.
Time you...
No, I dropped it also in my 20s.
Oh, yeah.
Early 20s, I was
you
like,
were essential
hey,
oil behind ooh, every ear.
But then I got that out of my system,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
There was a Vice magazine article about how to fuck ass that I remember that I looked at. This is like this is like early Vice, like when it was shitty, like Gavin McGinnis era Vice.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Isn't it still like that?
Yeah, basically Vice sucks. Can I say that? Am I allowed to say?
Yeah.
No, I am not. I
in
am not,
my
not,
opinion,
not to slander the company. Yeah. In my opinion, Vice
you can say
Vice
whatever
is,
you want. Fucking Gavin McGinnis is out there.
Like,
yeah,
they
Gavin
might
McGinnis
not be doing that
fuck
anymore.
Vice forever.
Spiritually, they are that. Though.
Yeah.
Like, they will always be that.
The official shirt for the Proud Boys is a fucking polo shirt that I've owned for 7 years. It's a Fred Perry polo shirt that's black with yellow markings, and they've like made that their official shirt, and I own it.
Yeah.
And I was wearing it on the bus.
It's queer erasure.
It's
again.
Yeah, yeah, right? Again. Here I am.
Everywhere you
look. Erased into a white man. Great. Anything from you? Story deep in the closet?
I mean, I've told a lot of my stories from... I was thinking about this gay story. This is not... This is long after I came out of the closet. Is that okay?
Yes.
I was 24, and I got a call from a guy I'd been sleeping with, like, the year before, and he said, I'm letting people know I just tested HIV positive. You should probably get tested. And at the time, I had a bad rash on my cock and my balls.
Okay.
And the and of course I get online, and that's one of the symptoms of recent
anything,
HIV
really,
of
yeah,
anything
yeah,
of
yeah,
anything like
yeah,
it's like that is yeah, a that is a pretty baseline symptom.
Yeah.
And so I spun myself up into
of
a real
course
ladder.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah. Can you?
You're
can
not
you
chill about your health.
Me being. And so I go and I'm freaking out with my roommate. Who says, like, well, we'll both go. Well, it's a straight guy, but it's like, we'll both go into the clinic tomorrow. We'll both get tested. That'll be just what we do with our afternoon.
That's sweet.
It was great. Mm-hmm. My roommate, Nick Kocher, who comedy fans may know. and we go into the clinic, and, you know, you go in one-on-one with a counselor, and they say, what's going on? I told them I have a rash on my cock and on my balls, and
you said that every time.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're like, oh, the cock and ball rash.
Yeah, but yeah, my cock has a rash on it instead of my balls. And
you making a meal out of that?
Yeah, yeah. I'm enjoying myself. And they said, okay, great. Well, we'll get you tested, and while you're here, we'll get you in to see a doctor. And so they do my testing, and then they take me to another room where I'd see a doctor. The doctor says, you have it's a fungus. Here's a cream for it. But we can also, you know, load you up with a bunch of vaccinations and stuff while you're here. And I say, this is great. What a wonderful time I've had at this free clinic.
Yeah.
And I faint with needles. I faint. Allie's seen me with needles. I faint like I just faint. And
we do a lot of drugs together.
Yeah. You know, you're IV drug users. Yeah. And so I fainted. And they say, can we do anything for you? And I say, my friend's out there. Would you bring my friend back? Well, my friend got tested, then went back to the waiting room.
Full HIV.
And most people just go in, get tested, and leave. And so I've been back there for an hour, where most people have been for like 20 minutes. And so my friend has now spun himself up into a lather. And they come out and say, like, is Grant's friend here? And he said, that's me. And they said, could you come back here? He's asking for you. And he said, what's wrong with him? And they said, well, we can't tell you that, but he's fainted, so he needs some help.
Oh, my God.
And he comes back and sort of wakes me up and says, like, it's going to be okay. And I say, no, I'm just... I'm just a pussy.
I'm fine.
So he didn't get tested. I thought the story ended in him getting HIV.
Wouldn't that be a good story?
Yeah, because straight guys think they're so immune to all STDs. Like, I love what
STDs
straight guys get.
In queer STDs. Culture, or STIs, I guess, is what they're called now. It's so fucked up. I feel like when I'm talked to in a doctor's office, it's always like women don't pass STIs is like the vibe there. It's all like, who of your partners has been with a man? Like, that's the only way an STI could have gotten into this equation.
They blame gay men for everything.
Yes. Do you feel that when you go in? They're like, you probably do.
I have gay doctors. Your story reminded me of a story when I first moved to L.A. I was at this, doctor's office that only gay men went to, and now I go to, they were horrible, so I went to another one that only gay men went to. But my doctor was like,
how did you find this, by the way? Is this like a Yelp thing?
A friend had told me, because I was asking, and I was going to get treated, and this is so gay man, but the boundaries are just so down that the doctor is like, sweet ass.
No.
And I was excuse me. He's like, you like eating ass? And I'm like, don't call it that. Like,
what?
For a doctor.
They say ass? They don't even say
he
like
He said,
do
you eat ass?
They're a doctor.
My doctor asked about rimming. Do you like rimming?
Rimming is more technical. Eating ass. Hear a doctor say eating ass.
What the fuck?
Was so shocking.
No doctors could do
that. That is so crazy.
And then, not but a week later, I was standing on my balcony and I hear, Jordan.
No.
Jordan. And it's the fucking doctor.
No.
And he's like, I'm your neighbor.
No.
And then so I stopped going to him. 6 months later, Grindr every day.
No.
Hey.
Oh, no.
Yeah. No. That's awful. Yeah. That is deeply dark, honestly. Yeah. Medical. I'm whenever I even step foot into a doctor, I'm putting so much trust that I'm like,
and them not
please
doing
don't
that.
Say
and them
yeah.
not
yeah.
like.
And, all he's thinking about is whether I eat ass or not.
Yeah, exactly. Don't
so, like,
hit on
your
me.
Job.
So, Jordan, how do you eat ass? Do you, are you good at it? Or what are we...
I think I'm, like... I
that,
used
that was me being your doctor. I was being your doctor.
No,
I don't actually...
It really...
I'd like to know.
It struck me to my core. I was like, am I good at it?
He was ready to answer.
Yeah. We'll talk. We'll talk later.
It used to be a thing I, was first thing I ordered off the menu. But now I've calmed down with it a little bit.
Yeah.
I haven't.
You
that's
love
a,
it.
That's
I feel like bi guys love eating ass.
Love it. I love eating ass.
You love everything, though, honestly.
I do.
On this podcast,
I do.
We've spent a little bit on everything that you love.
Every podcast, some new thing I enjoy is going to come out.
Bi guys want to suck dick all day and eat ass and get fucked.
The last
isn't that most of
no,
the, what are we
no,
missing
like,
here? Well, yeah.
Like I feel like
bi dudes want to kiss,
gay guys
love, and go to dinner and get married maybe one day, maybe
but
have
it's
kids. All bi guys.
It's different though, because with gay guys, it's either I'm a top. But it's just
but
weird
isn't
that bi
boring?
Guys.
Yeah, you stay one thing the whole time. Do you
well,
think
no,
so?
No, I
don't know.
But I think the point I'm trying to make is that a bi guy. Because they like women, then with men, they want things inside of them.
Oh,
that's what
you
I'm saying.
Think
like,
that's
I think
where they're getting
so many
that.
Bi guys just want to get fucked and play with dicks instead of getting their dick sucked, instead of fucking.
The last time I was on this podcast, I told a story about how I, not a story, a fact that I like sucking dick more than I like getting my dick sucked. And it's come up again. Allie, it's come up again.
Sounds like you got red. Okay.
Yeah.
You selfish bi guy. No.
I'm used to it. That's fine. You know what? More for me. Sorry,
and
everybody.
With women, you like fucking them.
Yes, but I don't know what the... No, there are a lot of alternatives. I was going to say I don't know what the alternative
would
be.
Yeah, I was you're a creative
Yeah,
person.
But I'm also more of a top with guys.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Broken. I think it is old and boring if someone's like, I'm a top. I'm like, what are you from the 90s? What is going on? Everyone's
they
versatile.
They have the tattoo.
Or just on dating apps too, where it's I'm a top. And you're like, please don't bring that into my queer, beautiful relationship where anything is possible. All right, great. Let's move on. We here at Tales from the Closet, we like to get a little bit scary mid-show, okay? And bring up what some might call a trigger word, but really, I just think it's a funny, spooky word. it was that scary enough of a, like an intro.
You said funny and spooky.
Yeah.
So. Funny and spooky. Spooky. I'm truly so sorry. Okay, great. Our word of the day is straight hyphen acting.
Ooh.
Love it. Straight acting. So yeah, this is just roundtable talk. What does that word mean to you? Where have you heard it used? Do you love it? Do you hate it? Is it growing on you?
It's so growing on me. I love it now. No, I feel like it's, I've had to like unteach myself to like be, to take it as a compliment. Like for my whole life, it, like if someone was like, I didn't even know you were gay, I would just like, thank you, I'll do anything for you. And now I'm like, oh, that's like bad. That's like me being ashamed of something.
Could be, yeah, could be.
Yeah,
totally.
Of course. And it's like, I mean, I think like, I'm actually, I like talking to women about this because like I believe that like all homophobia is like rooted in sexism. So I think that's why like gay men and trans women are like killed and beaten the most, more than lesbians.
I would agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's
but
like
that's
the
where
threat,
you meet the most hostility.
Yeah,
sure.
It's because of
yeah.
like it's the threat of femininity. It's yeah. like yeah. you're coming into their world and showing them that like men aren't just men. And yeah. that like you can be, you can like possess feminine.
Totally.
Things.
Yeah. Do you I agree. And I think straight acting, I think I'm just so sick of everything queer being in reference to straight
yeah.
culture.
Yeah.
So then it's like, oh, like get that lens off of me.
Yeah.
Like straight acting or not. I don't know. I just don't want to hear that. But yeah. I know in like gay male culture, that's something that you'll see on like dating apps and stuff.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Told
all the
me,
time.
Yeah.
Like all over Grindr is like, usually people don't say it in reference to themselves.
Yeah.
They do sometimes, but it's a lot of times
what they're searching
looking
for. Yeah.
It's like looking for a straight acting guy or mask for mask, which is so telling about, first of all, the kind
yeah.
of guy that they are. And also, too, like, it's, you're shutting out so many hot guys. Like, even just as a strategy
but a
for
lot
getting
of the,
laid.
A lot of the mask guys, like, they're, like, they'll, like, have these shoulders and these arms, and they'll be, like, brooding, and they'll be like, so I'm,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
I'm working in PR right now, and it's
yeah.
like, well, you're not. You're not masculine.
Yeah,
you,
that is
so,
not.
So, like, don't pretend
in
that you
photo,
are.
In a photo, they
not.
Are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
That's
it's like,
all that matters.
My outward appearance
yeah.
is masculine, and
yeah.
therefore, I can have all of the privilege that comes with
yeah.
it. Yeah.
That's
right?
So what it is. Yeah.
It's so sad to see. I was at like a gay club on New Year's Eve in London, and just like
okay,
yeah,
okay.
I'm not surprised anymore.
Now I've heard everything. Gay club, London, New Year's Eve. but it was like. It was so, it's so, every time I go to like a circuit party thing like that, it makes me so sad because I'm like, oh my God, like all of you have destroyed your bodies to like look like this. And like,
yeah.
you literally, like, you see these huge guys with like the worst back knee because of the steroids. And it's like, they're all clones of each other. And you're just like, oh, like your old self is gone.
Yeah.
Like you're never gonna get your old body back. And that is so sad, just to, like, uphold this thing of masculinity.
Yeah, or even just, like, the very cookie-cutter look that you get in, like, specifically, like, gay male clubs.
Yes.
Like, lesbians have, like, a similar thing of, like, a lesbian look.
Yeah.
But
sure.
It was, like, have you guys been watching the Marie Kondo thing on Netflix?
No.
Fuck no.
Tidying up.
Do it.
It's so good. I only watched two episodes, and I happened to choose the two gay
she's
couple
episodes. Right?
Yeah, she's totally
fuck
crazy.
Vice, fuck Marie Kondo.
Ah, no, but it's good. But there was a gay guy on there, and, like, you're supposed to go through all your clothes and touch them, and if they bring you joy.
Oh, we know.
You keep it.
Yeah.
Everyone.
No. That's the only thing I know about it.
That is the only, like,
category.
All anyone needs to know.
She created one sentence.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
all she's
does
done
that
for. That's
joy.
All she's done
because otherwise
joy.
It's like
yeah.
dust,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I could have figured out the rest of it.
Yeah.
But he's picking up all these clothes, and they're all like, and he was like, I don't get joy from any of these clothes. I'm really not getting the exercise. And all I was thinking was, like, that's because you don't want to dress like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all
yeah.
of his clothes were, like, very, like,
gay.
very gay. Yeah. And like, he looked at him and his boyfriend dressed exactly the same. And I was like, ooh, that's because like, you're a freak and you want to wear like cool clothes.
Gay men suffer from both being, both having the male gaze and having the male gaze on
Interesting.
Them.
Interesting. Yeah.
So it's, you get like, gay men get toxic masculinity from both ends. So it is terribly damaging to try and put yourself into the box that you think men will
want. What are ways that you guys have been able to get out from under that?
Just like
I'll let you know when I do.
It's tough to figure out.
It's just like trying to like find your deepest self, and like the more you learn about yourself, the less you're gonna like want to like be like everyone else.
Yeah, totally.
I think that's basic. Like the problem is like. And straight people have it too. It's like no one knows who they are.
Yeah.
And so like they're just doing what they think that they're supposed to do as a gay man or a straight person or a lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, and the people that really stand out in like any culture are the people who just know who they are.
Yeah. Totally.
So I don't think it really has to do with like being gay or straight or anything. No, it doesn't. Okay.
Well, I think I completely agree, and which is why you see it so much more in young people.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's people who are 22 are so fucked up.
But straight and gay people are
especially too if it's someone who's recently out and recently an adult. Like, that's too much to have to do all at once. That's so hard.
Yeah.
It was hard.
Yeah, I know it must have been.
It was very hard.
Because you came out right after college,
a little bit after, like 24. But
Oh, wow.
I think it's like finding, a more specific identity than the gay identity. I think you can ride just having the gay identity be yours, or queer identity.
Yeah, which is great too.
Which is awesome. Yeah. Like, definitely spend time in there because you've been isolated for so long alone. So it's great to embrace that. But after that, you kind of see the toxic things that it brings you, and you're able to kind of like shed that.
Well, you have to just be aware, because I also get annoyed when people are like, being gay is just like a very small part of my life. And it's like, okay, bitch, like we get what you're saying. And like, so you have to like find a balance of like, it has to be, you can't be shying away from it because you're ashamed of it, but like, if you're like, genuinely my sexuality is one part of my life, that's the goal.
Yeah.
But if you're like just doing it so you don't like seem too gay,
you see that a lot.
Yeah,
toning yourself down.
And it is always a line of like, oh, I don't want to be defined by my sexuality. Yeah. It's like, well, you're afraid of your sexuality.
Yeah, it's like people who are like, I don't want to talk about politics.
Yeah, like, it's like, what fucked up politics do you have that you don't want to talk about it?
But then it's also a little bit cultural because I'm Persian, and Persian communities don't talk about things like sex and sexuality. In general, even if you are straight, even if you are married, you don't talk about what you do with your partner, and that's just not a thing anyone talks about. So, like, for me, I had a lot of shame identifying in general anything sexually ever.
Yes.
No matter what it was. So that's a weird thing.
Same with
to have.
Christianity. Mm-hmm. Like, no sex at all talked about.
Yeah.
And so telling my parents I was, like, into women just felt like an inherently sexual thing I was bringing up. Like, I was like, mom, I was like, this is who I want to have sex with. Like, but that's not what I was saying.
No, it's
a
love
thing.
It
just felt so explicit. I was like, oh.
Right. Yeah. And then that's the other thing. It's like, back to talking about how you had to dress and clothes and things like that. Like, I grew up having to, like, go to Persian parties where you have to wear dresses and straighten your hair and put on makeup and all the stuff. And I was like, I never wanted to do it, and I kind of never did, and I didn't do it right. but my mom would, like, be embarrassed, and she'd be like, oh, everybody's talking about you. And, like, you're, like, in a dress, but you didn't do your hair or whatever. And I was like, that's fine, mom. Like, I feel better. I feel okay about it now. And I did go to a different, gosh, I'm talking about so many weddings. I did go to a different wedding, my other cousin's wedding, and this was after my whole family knew that I was queer, and they were like, oh, all texting me, like, are you gonna wear like a suit, like, this is a cool thing you could wear, whatever, whatever. Uh-huh. And then I showed up in a dress, and I felt like everybody was mad. <They're> like, they were like,
you
chose,
you told us you were gay.
I contain multitudes, and I like these gowns better than the suits I tried on. Right. And they were so like, I thought you were gonna wear a suit. What's going on?
Yeah.
Oh, like, okay. well, I'm gonna do what I want. It's
do you
me.
Feel like they like kind of like were like, oh, when you came out, they were like, oh, it all makes sense. Like,
sure. They were like, yeah, yeah. And then there was, because that was happening to my when I was like talking to my friends in college about how I was like dating a woman, and they would say stuff like that, and I would sort of have a reaction like, what do you mean? Of course. And then I'm like, it's okay that they said that.
Yeah,
it's okay that they've noticed that I'm a little bit different. Yeah. But it's a little bit like
when someone says they knew you better than you knew yourself. You know, like it's annoying. Yeah. Like, yeah, don't tell me you knew I was.
Like I was
gay.
Telling you something.
Yeah. Just go surprised.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if
or just say okay.
Act disappointed. Just don't say
be
you
ashamed
knew.
Of me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have two lesbian sisters.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Oh, my
boy.
Mother. Yeah.
Oh,
everyone
really?
In our family.
Same.
Oh, my God. I love
good
it.
Good for you guys. Well, an only child. Yeah.
Now it's a sibling.
Oh. Everyone
child.
Everyone in all of our family.
I have straight siblings.
Oh, so, yeah.
Okay.
Whew. There's the door.
Yeah.
So what were you?
But it was like I just have memories of like my now they go by sibling, but they would like freak out and like start shaking if they had to wear a dress, and it was like what's and they weren't out.
Whoa.
And so it was just like what's happening. They would have like full panic attacks, just like screaming and crying.
Oh,
and
we
like,
would have. Where do they live? We would have a lot in common.
Yeah, and like one of them had like no problem wearing a dress, and like they're twin lesbians.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
Well, I was never afraid or upset by dresses. I just didn't like being told that I had to pick one. I just wanted to decide when I wore one. And now, because I like dresses, I like all the clothes equally. I do tend toward more like in between, like gender neutral clothes, but I guess, I don't know actually. I dress however I am.
our colors are very similar.
Our colors are on point.
Yeah.
But a thing that my parents do now is anytime I'm in a dress, they make a point to be like, oh, look at you. You look so good. And I'm like, I know that. You can say that in any other outfit, but they think they're reinforcing something when they're kind of not. I would
that's
just wear this
just
no matter what.
They don't care that you're
absolutely not.
Absolutely fuck off.
I'm calling my mom and telling her you said that.
Get your mom on the phone right now.
Yeah.
Okay? That's what this podcast is for. I hated wearing dresses.
Yeah.
But, okay, so my brother being gay, growing up, we would always... We were also very, like outside of our gender, like, and so we would get presents, and it wasn't until I was, like, 7 years old that we realized, like, oh, my God, we're each getting the presents the other one
yes.
And
oh,
so, like,
okay,
we
gotcha,
would,
gotcha,
like,
gotcha.
We, it became, like, a whole thing that, like, my mom, like, if we just said thank you and looked like we were going to keep the gift until the person left, then we could trade.
And that was, like, between you and your brother.
And my mom, because she got in on it because she wanted us not to look rude. So it would just be, like, us sitting in the living room, and I'd be like, great, like, a custom bracelet bead-making kit. Like, can't wait. And he would be like, great, Spawn action figures from the underworld.
Yeah.
I can't wait. And we'd just be like,
I would apply for that bracelet making. I love bracelet making kits.
Absolutely not. Boring.
Give me those
Spawn
you.
Underworld.
I love you, Spawn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle... took on my 10th young birthday,
mm-hmm.
took me to FAO Shorts,
oh,
and he was like,
God.
You can buy anything in the store. And like, everyone was like, buy this huge thing, like, you can buy anything. And I chose a Pocahontas Barbie doll.
No way.
And everyone was just like,
this is so upsetting.
Fuck you.
This is a tale. This is a tale from the crypt.
This is a tale.
This is my
so
personal
mad at me.
Hell.
What?
It wasn't even like, it was, I don't even think they processed that. No, they did. They were like, that's a pretty gay thing to do. But they're also just like, fuck you.
No way.
You chose the wrong thing. You're
like,
not being good with money right
early?
Now.
Was your family cool with it, or was it like...
Yeah, well, it's so funny.
Out of three siblings.
Out of three siblings.
Who came out first? Who won?
I came out first. I won. They came out way later than me, and they're 3 years older than me.
Wow.
But lesbians all, like, come out in college, or that's...
It feels...
High school is not for lesbians.
It's also
maybe
not
nowadays.
For
gayness,
I think now.
But
like,
oh, thank God for the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
It's still difficult,
yeah.
But yeah.
But I...
We're not taking anything away from you. So we recognize your struggle.
Yeah.
So long as you recognize that it wasn't as hard. It's not as hard as ours.
We're
stronger than you are.
I feel like Arkansas current day. Get at us. We're sorry.
Yeah. I mean, it was... I'm from Long Island.
Mm.
So it wasn't like the hardest thing in the world. But I remember, like, it was just such, oh, everything happened so fast. Like, it was like from the first time I was like, I like those. I like that six pack. Like within a week, I had come out.
No way.
Like from like literally like the first.
Good for you.
At like 12, at end of 12.
Oh wow.
Wow.
Like, yeah, like 13th, but around 13th birthday.
Wow.
But it was like I came out to all my camp friends, and then I gave this guy a hand job at like a sleepover party, and he famously pretended he was possessed and threw up.
No.
He was like ashamed. Yeah, I gave him a hand job. He freaked out.
I like that you said famously.
Like, you all know.
Oh my God. At what kind of camp?
It was, so this was a like nighttime party at a house. We were at a day camp together. And his like eyes rolled back and he started like shaking up and down and then like went and threw up and just pretended to be possessed.
That is nightmare.
Yeah. That's my first sexual experience.
That's tough.
But I wonder why I'm so fucked up with sex.
My God.
Why I need it for validation.
Toxic. Weird. Oh my God. That's crazy.
But then so I was like, I was aiming with my friends about it, and my sisters told my parents. So they came out. They came out for me.
Oh no.
And I remember like my dad was driving me to like community theater, and he's like, so is it true? And I was like, yeah. And he was
dad,
like,
I really think community theater would be the killer.
And he was like, well, he, like the traditional love, Simon. Like, I'll love you, whatever you are. But then, and my mom was like so much like more cool. But then I recently remember like one of the first things she said to me was she was like, it's okay that you're gay. That's fine. Just don't get a gay voice and don't get AIDS.
Oh dear.
And there now, it is. Now I'm coming back to it being like,
there it is. Yeah. Yep. Oh God. Yeah. Horrible.
And then I like told her she said that, and she like, I became like the villain. She was like, after everything I've done for you.
Oh,
I was
my
so supportive.
God.
That was though the first thing my parents said with not a gay voice, but like, well, be careful.
Yeah. Which is valid.
Yeah,
like
that's,
it was
that's
a
reasonable
different
advice to give to a young gay person.
Yeah. But it is also like
my kids will be on PrEP when they are 5 years old.
I have a cousin who's a doctor and said like we should just put PrEP in the water. Yeah. We should put like Lipitor in the water.
Yeah, the strides for that are insane.
Yeah,
have you guys ever seen the artist fucking Royanovich? He's like Russian.
I bet you're saying it wrong.
I'm positive. I am. It's like WOJ.
Oh,
anyway.
Banksy.
Oh yeah, Banksy. he does this crazy thing with a balloon. It's like longing. No, but anyway, David Royanovich or whatever. He's like a big like during like the AIDS outbreak. He did a lot of like political art, and he has like the most heart-wrenching, like he does like text over stuff, and it's just about like
people
dying, like government not caring, everyone just like villainizing gay people during the 90s.
May I touch you
for
this? I recently, my friend came over and she was like, we were just talking about comedians, and they were like, number one, Eddie Murphy. And I was like, yeah, sure. And she was like, you have to watch his like first special.
Oh, Raw? Oh, it's so awful.
It is.
It's
what?
Horrifying.
What does he do?
He starts with a 10-minute rant about faggots and AIDS. Like, and this is during.
What's the punchline?
It's just like, I'm not getting AIDS for no faggots. I don't let faggots touch me.
I
don't let faggots touch me. I don't let faggots go anywhere near me. You're a faggot, you stay away from me.
No,
it's like a Kevin Hart special now.
10 full minutes. And, like, this is when, like, gay men were literally dropping dead, like, flies, and the audience is literally, like, it was catharsis for them.
It's
to, like, hear, like, how much you hate gay. It was so.
It makes my heart race thinking about watching
those
old
shows. Everyone should be required to, like, watch that.
Yeah.
Because it's so horrifying.
Watch that, and then watch How to Survive a Plague, the documentary from a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Listen, kids, know your history.
Yeah, that's the thing, is, like, you feel there's something weird hanging in the air, and that's because there is. Like, these people are still alive.
Yeah.
It wasn't that long
ago
that was, like, completely considered okay.
Yeah, and then you'll meet, like, a 60-year-old gay guy, and it's like, yes, everyone I knew in my 20s has died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of my friends
and
died.
it's like when people get cancer, they're not like, well, you shouldn't have done this. And, like, with AIDS, it was like, it's your fault. Like, this is all your fault. Like, you've created this monster.
You deserve it.
You deserve it.
Yeah.
And, like, any other disease, they're like, bless you, I'm so sorry for you. Like, I hope everything's okay.
Yeah, and this, they're like,
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got what's
away.
Coming to you.
Yeah.
Spooky.
Spooky.
Straight acting. Straight acting. That's this is sort of straight acting category.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love the tangents that we go on. This.
Yeah. There's no wrong
talk about
tangent
AIDS
on
for it's
ever.
Like and yeah. Where are we guys, now versus? Yeah.
Do you guys feel the presence of like the AIDS epidemic in gay male culture now?
I personally do. Like, I just think about it all the time. Because, like, I would have been dead.
It's just yeah, like I think about that.
I'm an artist. Like I'm a cool person. Like yeah. Like I, all the everyone that was cool died.
It's Fran Lebowitz has a great line. Yeah. It's like we lost a generation of people with good taste.
With good taste. Yeah.
All the cool gay men.
I mean, I've watched that. Yeah. That was great. Yeah.
Which is
Fran.
Such a shitty thing to say.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's true.
I actually yeah.
But it's
one
I mean
of my
true but shitty.
Talks about that.
it's I mean even just the difference in my like relationship to sex. Pre-prep versus post-prep is...
You're barebacking your life away.
It's, and there are problems with that. And, otherwise, we'll get into off air. But the it is, you know, gay sex is equated with death for gay men specifically. Like gay people, but gay men specifically at... this point in history, and that is deeply damaging.
Yes. Yeah. Do you feel like that happened, like when, I don't know, is it like when people are around, are there like, do you guys all talk about it? Like, isn't that scary that that could happen? Or are we to a point where that's not really on the table anymore?
No, I think it's like not, I think it's like not in like a bad way, where it's like, people are so like, prep is such a lifesaver, mm-hmm. and like people are just doing whatever they want, that it's like, I think it's like it's almost a little disrespectful to the older generation how flippant we are about sex,
mm-hmm.
and like it's unfair. It's unfair to like talk about it so loosely when like they're too old now to like get the pussy that they once could, for lack of a better word. So like they're not having the sex they could have had, and they didn't get to have the sex that they wanted.
Yeah,
because of AIDS. So it's like I can't imagine what it's like for a 75-year-old to look at us and be like, "Oh, great! Like I was." But it's not fair. Like
yeah,
I
mean, they must
my...
think that left. I was just lecturing high school students now about how easy
it
is.
Yeah, exactly.
For a 75-year-old to say like, "It must think that." All the
don't
time.
Don't have survivor's guilt in your life. Yeah. And, but do you feel safe, would you say?
Yeah.
I do.
I
that's
do.
Great.
I do feel safe.
Yeah.
Can I certainly have sex like I feel safe, so I do feel safe.
Yeah.
Can gay men still not donate blood?
I lie.
Is that still a thing?
Yes, that is still... Like,
it's still
like,
on the form.
If you've
like
ever
you
had sex with a man, you can't...
Isn't that
since,
insane?
Like,
it's
yeah.
crazy.
That feels crazy.
What a weird old vestige of the time gone by.
I know.
The last time I gave blood was in high school, and it would still be a decade until I had
women,
sex.
Though.
No, yeah, it was fine.
I give blood all the time. It's
really?
One of my favorite things
every
to do.
Every morning.
Are you serious?
It is. I do. I give blood all the time. At the UCLA Blood and Plasma Center. I went to UCLA.
I love you.
Yes, and I used to do this in college, and I still go now. Anytime I have, like, a free day, I'll, like, make an appointment and go, and I do platelets, and that takes, like, an hour, and there's, like, a TV, and you can watch, like, a movie while you're
saving
your life.
Have you ever gotten paid for a plasma?
And then, if you were a UCLA employee, you could, but I get paid in movie tickets. 4 tickets to the AMC. Every time I donate blood, everybody. And you get a free cookie and orange juice, and sometimes there's sandwiches there.
What?
It's great.
4 free tickets to the movie?
That's for platelets. You get 2 for just blood.
It's a great way to feel like you're giving to charity without losing any money.
Gaining movie tickets.
Oh, yeah.
I never go to the movies.
I faint, though. So
really?
That's not,
you wouldn't be able to
I faint all the time.
Right.
And I have sex with men.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're going to move on to my favorite part of this show, which are questions submitted by viewers.
I love that.
Some people identify themselves and their age. Some people asked anonymously. We've talked about maybe uploading this podcast under like another name, like NFL Breakdown or something, so that closeted people could download it and have it on their phone.
Gotcha.
I have a friend who lived in India 3 years ago, and she said because it was illegal to be gay there until like so recently. Yeah, like, to get in with like the lesbians that lived there, you had to be noticed, and then someone would give you an email, and you would email them. They would have you meet at like a secret location and vet you, and then you could get invited to like the
gays.
That's
like me with cool gays.
Yeah,
now.
It's like it's so fabulous and so dark at the same time.
Yeah, it's it's dark, but it is fabulous. Bad, anyway, shout out India. Okay, our first question.
That one took me by surprise.
I was like, we are gonna die.
It was genuinely scary. And now it's raining.
We're all soaking wet. All right. Did you have many LGBTQ friends when you were discovering yourself? Do you have any tips on meeting new queer friends, especially as a teen? This is from someone named Noah, age 15.
Oh, I love him. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just the name. I know exactly what he looks like.
Shout out, hi, Noah.
Shout out, Noah. I thought he was going to say, did you have gay friends when you were discovered?
When you personally were discovered.
Like, I'll fucking let you know.
Yeah.
Well, that... I guess I'm confused a little bit about the language, so I'll answer twice, because there's when you were discovering yourself versus when you were coming out, I think are sort of
different. Did you have
times.
Queer friends when you were first realizing that you were gay? Uh-huh. And do you have tips on meeting new queer friends as a teen?
Can I say something like a don't?
Yeah,
that's helpful.
I felt like I had this pressure to... because there were so few gay people around me, to be, like, best friends with them. And I hated them.
Yeah.
And, like, and they were also the only people I could have sex with. So I was, like, I hated the people I had sex with. I hated the people I was around. And I was, like, I wish I had just, like, stuck to my girls. And, like, then, like, when I met queer, when I finally, like... when I was, like, 21, I found my first, like, group of gay friends. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yes, this is what I've been waiting for. Like, these are like-minded people. So I don't feel like you need to, like... I think now it's a lot easier because you could seek out people who have the same interests as you, like, online and stuff. But, like, don't look for gay people just because they're gay, because...
Don't lower your standards
Yeah. Yeah, like, stick true to, like, the people you actually want to hang out with. Mm-hmm. And, like, the gay people will come. If you're, like, you're going to find them when you move to a city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, that is... This might not be universal, but what worked for me is moving to a city. Is being in a place where there are a lot of other gay people.
Yeah.
When I was coming out to myself when I was a teen, I was at a Catholic school in Ohio. I didn't know any other gay people. Turns out I did, but at the time they weren't out.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. Out people.
Yeah. Then when I was coming out, I did it in college. I was at acting school. I only knew gay people. And so that's not a helpful tip for a 15-year-old isn't move to a city.
Yeah,
that's
true.
That's not a helpful thing, Noah.
Yeah.
I would say it's similar to what you were saying. At 15, I think it's more important that your friends be good friends rather than be gay friends.
Yeah.
Like, be open and honest with the friends you have now.
Yeah, the characteristics that you want in a friend don't start and end with gay. It's like honest and supportive and kind. Mm-hmm. And you look for those people, not just gay people.
And there's like so many, like I even as an adult have like people I consider friends that I've never met that I like I'm just like Instagram friends with and like we always comment back and I'm like, oh, that's my friend. So it's like you can find people like if you need an outlet to talk about your gay experience, you can find it online.
Find that online. You find that online, and then your friends in real life, let those friends be other traits can take precedence over shared sexuality at 15.
Even though it's all you think about when you're 15.
The follow-up to this, he also asked, could you talk about how to meet other queer people if you're not big in the party or clubbing scene?
Okay, well,
this is Pierce. This is someone else.
I don't party, and I don't go to clubs, but I also don't go out and seek specifically queer friends. I just like to find friends that like to do the same things I do. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this is advice, but it's just like, because it doesn't answer the question about finding specifically queer people, but I did just make friends, like doing improv and sketch and doing, like, I also did theater in high school, and all those people were very supportive. And actually, a lot of my friends in high school that were not queer in high school now are like, I think I am.
Yeah, I think I am.
So it's just like, do the things that you like, and you will find friends.
I think so too. I think, yeah, if you're like into books or something, hang out at the bookstore in your town. I'm trying to think of like, yeah, get out of here.
Oh my gosh, I need to leave. He hates everything I'm about.
Very good advice for young lesbians hanging out at the bookstore.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if you're in a smaller town, like, go to the things that your town has to offer.
Go to
meet
like the queer section and just like be like looking up. Be like,
I think that is the thing. I don't, because you don't have to be into partying and clubbing to make friends, but you do have to actively pursue the interests you do have.
Yeah. Yes.
If partying and clubbing aren't your thing, what is your thing, and then go out to it? Because I think sometimes partying and clubbing can be code for I'm introverted and don't want to be social. And it's tough to find new friends if you don't put yourself out there and you don't have to be into partying and clubbing. You can do plays. You can join.
Just do a quick scan on yourself and see if there's a way that you could be braver and put yourself out there a little bit more. It doesn't have to be at some like all night rave, but
And no one's like actually making friends at a club.
I completely agree.
I can't imagine how you would.
Parties can be very over. Like when I first came out, I went to gay bars and it was just so booming Lady Gaga music, and I was like, maybe this isn't my tribe. Yeah. You know, it's just like, oh no, I've made
it
a mistake.
It wasn't until I started like going to house parties and like
finally like, meeting and like talking to people.
Where the volume is low enough that you can have a conversation. Put yourself actively pursue your interests.
Yeah,
and that's how to make friends, gay or straight.
Just how to make just friends like in general.
Or do a video podcast. Go to College Humor.
Come and be on this video podcast.
We're fun.
All right, great. Next question. I am a queer woman who has been out personally for about 2 years, but I recently started a new job as a kindergarten special ed teacher in the Bronx. Part of the reason I went into education was to afford young kids a safe space to explore their identities. Unfortunately, my school is not the most accepting environment, and I feel myself tiptoeing back into the closet when I'm there. This makes me feel guilty and kind of embarrassed. How do you cope with coming out / being at work when you suspect it's putting you under a higher level of scrutiny? Is it ever worth it to just come, or just to keep this stuff to yourself?
Oh, that's so tough.
Mm-hmm.
That was long, and I felt every word of it. I don't have any good advice for that, and that's a thing that I did for a long time, not in a workplace, but like to my parents. I was just like, to my friends and everybody, I was like, yes, I am who I am, I'm queer. But then it's like, to my parents, I'd be like, I just won't tell them this one thing because they don't ask anyway, it doesn't matter. And it felt worse, and then the longer you do it, it feels like you'll never get out of it. So it does feel better to decide to do it. And then this is the thing that my uncle told me: if somebody will just like judge you just because of that one thing, then you don't need them to like you anyway, and they can come back when they can decide that that's okay, because it's not a big thing about you.
Totally.
So,
but I think she actually needs to leave this job, because I think it's so rare for anyone to know why they're doing their job, and she knows why she's doing her job. She's like, I want to work with kids' identities, and I am a firm believer that like you can actually do whatever you want in this life, and so she needs to be looking for schools that are align with her interests.
But I think that space needs her, because what if some kids there are also suppressed by that environment of the school, maybe?
True. Yeah.
I think so, but I think it's like, that's the question of like putting your own happiness first or second.
Yeah, I guess we don't know what specifically is happening.
And to that,
happening.
I guess I'd say, because I agree that you could do a lot of good, but then you have to do it.
Then you have to do it, which is a scary thing.
If that's why you're there, then you have a responsibility to yourself and to the kids around you to do the thing.
Yeah.
And if you can't, and I'm not saying there aren't legitimate reasons that you can't. Like, they're, you know, if you...
Yeah,
if,
she does say in a parenthesis, no, I don't feel my job is at risk, but I worry folks would read an agenda into my teaching or push back against the gender-neutral and explorative space I'm trying to build.
Mm. Well, you do have an agenda. Yeah. It sounds like you do have an agenda.
Oh, well, so agenda in quotes in that, like, creepy gay folk way.
Yes, and you just want people to be who they are and how they are instead of just, like, making them into gays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is true.
You get it, right, Claire?
I make kids into gays all the time. I hated the way that sounded.
I hated it.
I mean, it just is, like, depends. And this is such, like, just, like, point of view thing about how you see the world. But, like, if she wants to live in her utopia, then there's a way to do it. And if she wants to live to, like, to help and struggle and fight, then there's a way to do that too. And I don't think one is worse or better than the other. Like, I don't think if you're like, I wanna help who I want to help in the way I want to help, I don't think you're a bad person for doing that. But I mean, all for you if you're going to go into these spaces that are not accepting and try to make a difference.
You know what I found helpful with that is like that. Have you guys ever done the artist's way?
You write
three pages at the top of every morning, like
it's some real Marie Kondo shit.
It's not.
No, it's messy.
You don't get rid of anything.
What I'm gonna say is, if you're writing three pages every day, I think it would help her track what she wants and what she's getting in this situation a little bit more. Because when it comes to a job, that's a huge choice. It's like, give yourself a year. Give yourself 2 years to decide what you're going to do with this. Feel it out a little bit more.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be like, stop being a kindergarten teacher in the Bronx. Like, quit. You know, it's like, take time.
But if you stay with try to achieve that purpose. Yeah. But right now, it's just costing you.
Totally.
And you're not getting the benefit you're
and
hoping for.
And she's also... like, there is part of this that, like, she is presuming negativity before there's actually negativity there.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, but like, you do that when you're scared.
You do.
Totally.
So, I mean, try it one way. And if those things that are perceived are real, then it's time to reconsider.
Yes. All right. Final question. How do you handle not feeling queer enough? For example, I'm an out and proud cis bisexual woman dating a cis bisexual man, which means folks often assume that we're straight. And I hate when people think that either of us have chosen a side because we're with each other.
Yeah, you get that a lot. As a bi person, if you're just out grocery shopping and you see a couple and it's a man and a woman, you naturally, I think, presume that, well, there's a straight couple. I don't think there's anything wrong with that presumption. How do you then more outwardly demonstrate your queerness to let yourself be part of the community? Well, that's a good question.
Right?
And I'm a comedian, so I don't necessarily have a terrific answer.
Rainbow flags.
Yeah, rainbow flags everywhere.
I think there's a problem with just like having the feeling or the need to feel like, but it's a thing that we've put on. To be gay enough is a thing that is not real. Yeah. You just are who and how you are. And so,
but
it is real. What do you mean? I mean, it's being gay enough is real?
Yeah, like those pressures are real.
No, I know the pressures are real, but the concept of being gay enough is not real.
It's not real.
Yeah, exactly. There is no gay enough moment.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not real.
Well, I do agree. I do think
I don't know.
Wanting to be perceived... it does kind of sound like maybe they have friends who are like, oh, good, you've picked a side. I think that kind of thinking of, like, picking a side and not being allowed to feel free.
Well, when I understand this feel. When I'm with a woman, it does feel like I need to – I do feel like I need to name myself more often. So that I feel like I still belong to that community. Mm-hmm. And B, to, you know, because it's good to be out and it's better for the world to have more out people.
And you just want to be understood. Yeah, like, you want to be seen, like, for who you are.
Yeah. So I guess just be out to as many people as you can be. Be loud about your queerness.
I would be interested in this. I feel like maybe we'll come back to this in another show because I want more. I feel like I have some friends who are queer and have and just ended up in a straight relationship after. And I wonder what that feels like. Like, oh, now you're, you know, like, sure, you, now you're dating like a straight guy or now you're dating a straight girl.
Yeah.
Do you feel like some of you has been lost? That's really interesting. Like, what's doing
that? Yeah, I mean, bi is such like a complicated thing because you... If you're not in an open relationship, like, I feel like I would feel like I'm missing a part of my sexuality by not being able to, like, express both of the things.
Well, maybe that's just because you're very gay. Because I was like, well, I feel like you find everything in both genders.
Right. Like, if it is just about the person.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not always like that.
I think she should break up with her boyfriend and date a woman just on principle. Yeah, date me.
Great. Well, thank you so much for sending in questions, everybody. And thank you so much to you guys.
Oh, thank you.
Great to have you.
Thank you, guys.
I love
this
all of
fun.
You. Yes, thank you for coming in.
We're going to have a big... Bi orgy now.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
You have to. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Anyway, thank you so much, guys. We will see you when our next vodcast comes out. Please hit us up on the Discord. Grant and I are both definitely on there. Send us questions and, get involved in that talk that's going on there. Thanks so much. Have a great week.
This has been a Dropout podcast. For video of today's show, plus more exclusive series, go to dropout.tv.